good evening, ladies. I kind of feel like I have this whole thing, which is good because I bought like way more stuff tonight than I did the other week. I am going to chat with you a little bit on comparison, and comparison and perception for me are like the two evil, wicked stepsisters. Because sometimes comparison creates a perception of something that doesn't really exist, and then vice versa. It goes both ways. So before I start, though, could I ask Sarah to pray over it, and then we can begin?
Lord, I thank you so much for this intimate setting tonight, and I hope that it is able to foster really deep conversation and deeper relationships, Lord. And I pray, most of all, that you just bless Sarah Beth with the ability to speak truth from your word, and that we can grow in the knowledge of you, and that we can also become more aware of our need for you, and how nothing compares to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So at the top of your paper tonight, this whole first little quote that I got came about. I was in Lisa Tucker's Unglued again, and she has a whole chapter on comparison. And then I was watching her pastor, who is Stephen Furtick. He's at Elevation Church out in North Carolina. And he was giving this sermon on focus, which was like relational, like in relationships. And then I was studying this book of hers and in this chapter. And it was funny because they were both saying the same exact thing. He was relating one on the relationship side, like between like husband and wife or a friendship, but she was specifically talking about like how comparison, you know, measuring yourself to something else can be, you know, pretty detrimental. And so I kind of meshed the two together. So again, I can't take any credit for this because it did not come from me. It came from the two. And then I was talking to Kim a couple weeks ago because I was telling her this could go like two different ways. It could be like, okay, so I'm comparing myself to these things over here and I'm never going to measure up. Or this direction, which I found was a little bit different, because when I was studying this and praying over it, it was almost like what this says here at the top. It says comparison is actually a really good reference for where I'm choosing to place my focus. And then Pastor Stephen's sermon is called Fix Your Focus, and mine is Where Is Your Focus? So I want you to kind of think about that at first with me and kind of go through as I'm reading these scriptures, because these are like very well-known verses. And I didn't think of them as like intimate scriptures, but they really are. There's so much behind these once you get into them. And there are some sections here that covers comparison in its fullest as we read through this. So I'm going to read you all of them. Well, there's not really that many. There's only four. But I'm going to start with the scripture in Matthew. It's Matthew 6, and I'm going to actually start in 31, where it says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble all its own." And then I'm going to skip over into 7 a little bit, and I'm going to go to 7:7, because it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." So I'm going to dissect this and go down in these areas with us, and how comparison really is where you're choosing to place your focus. If you think about it, free will is really your focus, because nothing else in this world I can control. I can't control, like, when my girls go back to school next week, if they have a good first day. I can't do that. I'd love to, but I can't do that. I can't control if someone texts me back or not. That's not in my control. The only thing I can really control is where I'm putting my focus. And that's that whole idea of, okay, wherever my focus is, that's where my thoughts are going to be. So thinking along those lines, in this first scripture, I'm going to start in 6:33. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." And so the first question there is my focus on finding or becoming? So if you think about what the scripture is saying, and what God was saying to me when I was reading this, was just, okay, I can seek first to compare myself to all this other stuff, because there's a lot of stuff out there. There's, you know, in my life, I had to find the right college to go to. Then I had to find the right guy. Then I had to find the ring. Then we had to find the right church. Then we had to find the right dress. Wherever you are in your life, there's a lot of things that we have to find. And those are all really good things. But when I'm comparing that, when I'm looking at that, everything that you have to find, and if you're seeking those things, there's no center to any of that. Like when I find one thing, I have to move on and find the other. But on the other hand, if I'm seeking God, that is more of an internal, like I'm going to become something different. I'm going to be changed. So as long as I'm seeking Him, I'm going to align my plans with His purposes so that I'm not looking at all this other stuff. I'm not looking at finding all these other things, but I'm looking at becoming who God has me to be. And then the scripture promises all that other stuff falls right into place. So when I'm doing that, I need to make sure that my mind is seek God first, and then all these other things will come into place. And then Matthew 6:34, it goes on, and this is a good one because it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble all its own. And then the question with this one was, is my focus on comparing who I was then or who I am now? So for me, this was kind of like the hitter because we all have a past. We all have probably really good memories of our past. We all have things that we're really proud of. We all also have hurtful things. And what this really says to me is, you know, sometimes if I don't deal with that and let it be what it is, let it lie in the past, it kind of comes with me and it kind of travels with who I am today, even though it's not meant to do that, but I can't live in that. There's a couple of friends that I went to high school with, and I'm sure you might have these friends too, where like they live like in who they were, like who they used to be. Like I had a really, really good friend. He's actually my third cousin. And 20 years ago when we were all in high school, I'm going to date myself because this is our 20th year reunion right like now. So at Wentzville, he was this huge wrestling star. You said his name. I'm not going to say his name just because you might know him on Facebook, but I'm not going to say that. But he was this great guy. And up until recently, like I would say just the past couple of years, he lived on who he was. Like his conversations would always go back to, now in 98, when that's great. You were amazing. You did all these things. That is not who you are now. You are a father, you're married, you've been through some pretty tumultuous times, but that's not who you are now. God has something different for you now. And it's not been until the last couple years where I've actually seen him like accept because of God who he is now and move forward from that. There's also hurtful things back there that I think sometimes if we don't deal with them, they like leak into today, and they're really not meant to leak in today. Like if you're out on a date with a guy for the first time, and you're on your phone because your friend texts you, hey, how's your date going? And he replies, who's texting you? Well, that's something that happened to him before. Maybe someone hurt him, but he's letting that come into who he is today. And sometimes that can doom something before it even starts. On the other hand, God says, don't worry about tomorrow and compare yourself to who you think you might be. I love this part in Pastor Stephen's sermon because he says, tomorrow can be a very sexy place to vacation because it's totally imaginary. I don't know if that's what God has for me. When I'm thinking, what if that's not what God has? Like I could think about all these great things out there with the house being built, but oh my gosh, it's not going to be perfect. But I can make myself think that my life's going to be wonderful when I get out there. What if like there's all this other stuff that God has planned for me while we're out there? And there's probably going to be a whole lot more work than what I'm used to, but I'm like imagining all these great, wonderful things, and I'm sure those are in there, but I can't shuttle myself there when I'm having a struggle today. So there's that danger of you can't compare who you were then, but you also can't create something and compare it to what you think you're going to be in the future, because God says, don't worry about that. Each day has trouble all its own. I have to live in today because this is what God has for me today. I'm going to go on in Matthew 7. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. This is a big one because it covers all of us in one point or another. Is my focus on comparing what is not? Or is my focus on comparing what I've got? So I know at one point in time, we have all done this. You know, I don't have the best clothes. I don't have the right car. I don't have what that girl over there has. I don't have what the, you know, social media says that I should have. So when I'm measuring myself up to these things or this person, whether she's real or not, that doesn't really matter. I'm always going to come up short because I'm always looking at other stuff and I can never make it to that. I can never have what I'm not because that's not what God has for me. When you focus on what you've got and you're focusing on God's purpose, you're focusing on His plan for your life, again, He says, seek and you will find. That goes both ways. If I'm seeking everything that I'm not, I'm always going to come up short. But if I'm seeking what I've got in God, I'm going to move forward from that. I'm going to become that person that He has for me. Pastor Stephen, at this point, he gets out this magnifying glass, and it's a really cool illustration because he goes around to different people in the audience, and he says, we have the ability in our focus to magnify, and magnify means to make bigger, but that can go both ways. You can magnify something that is negative and compare yourself to it and make it the biggest thing in your life, or you can magnify what truth is and make truth the biggest thing in your life, and your outcome is going to be completely different. For our last one in our verse, it says in 7:8, it says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. So he's basically saying the same thing again, because this is like really important when Jesus repeats something like more than twice. He's like, I know you're going to struggle with this, so I want you to remember it. Is my focus on comparing what is theirs or what is mine? So at this point, he gets out a mirror in the sermon. And because really what this says is if I'm focusing on what somebody else has, what is theirs, that's not what I am supposed to be focusing on. In that goes a whole different train of thought. You can lead yourself down a really, really dark road again, and you're never going to measure up. Lisa says, the more you compare, the emptier you become. So at this point, he gets this mirror out and he looks and he says out loud, he says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want to do in me? Because I tried looking at Kim, because she's not here, and I can't measure up. Or I tried looking at this idea, and I can't measure up. I'm always disappointed. So what do you have, God, for me that I need to change about myself? And I'm going to close with this, and this is from Lisa's book. I think it's completely on point. And she says at this point, when talking about what's theirs and what is mine, it's entitled, Carry Your Own Load. She said, for in this focus of comparing, we find reasons to celebrate what we have been given and what we are doing right. I'm not equipped to handle what she has, both good and bad, and she can be whoever. And what she has is always a package deal of both. In other words, I've been assigned a load I can handle, the good and the bad, is what I should carry. I'm not designed or assigned to carry what she has. It says, then consider Galatians verse again in the Message. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. And the original version of that says, each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. So what this tells me is God completely designed me to be me. And whether I compare myself to something out there or not, He believes that I'm the whole package. So I don't know where you are in your life or which one of these resonates with you, but please know that God thinks this much of you, that you are the whole package. And not to compare yourself with anyone else or any other idea around you. So if for discussion tonight, if you found that one of these was you, like you're in this right now, when you discuss it with your group, if you would like to, please share about what you've been comparing yourself to and what you know that you don't need to carry because it's not your load anymore. So I will see you back in a couple minutes.